All right. Well, glad you're here today. And I usually tell you where to turn, but today will be a truly what we call topical message today. So we'll be going some different places this morning. And like I said, we finished up the book of Galatians 2 weeks ago, I guess, and preached last week on being defeated by discouragement. And like I said, I wanted to preach another, you know, just something just on my heart, I guess, and I want to preach on prayer. So that's the title here, is A Primer on Prayer. A Primer on Prayer. I read this, and I don't know who wrote it, because I can't remember now, but it said this: prayer is not just for experts. It's for people like you and me. And for people who mess up, who have doubts, and who wonder. And for those who cry in pain and who search for a resource that will get them through it. And for the powerless, the weak, and the lonely. I want you to know today that prayer is for you. If you're here and you're saved, you have the access to pray. You have the tool to pray. Prayer is simply communication with God. What a wonderful privilege. As wonderful of a privilege it is, it seems that many believers are not taking full advantage of it, or not taking advantage of it at all. And I don't know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think, or I guess be honest with yourself, have you been praying like you should? Are you praying? And that's what we're going to talk about. This morning I want to discuss the topic of prayer and remind us of our need to pray. There are many aspects of prayer that can be talked about, discussed, and elaborated on, but I want to keep this simple and practical, mainly because that's probably about all I know. So, anyway, prayers are pretty, not complicated, but you run a lot of rabbit trail when it comes to prayer. But that's why I call it a primer on prayer, and I hope you know what primer means. I looked it up again to make sure. I'm not talking about paint. I'm talking about an introduction, an elementary book, introduction to a subject, because that's kind of what this is. It's not going to be a deep study on prayer. It's just going to be something that'll be simple and practical. This morning, I will look at four aspects of prayer. I will look at the power, the promise, the problem, and the precepts. Let's look at the first one, is the power of prayer. First thing I want to do is I want to identify what makes it powerful. So the first thing here is the identification. What makes prayer powerful? I mean, when we talk about prayer being powerful, what makes it powerful? The power of prayer is found in the who. In the who. Prayer is powerful because of who it is directed to. Biblical prayer is directed to God. I want you to understand that. I was talking to Cam. Y'all remember Cam and Miranda that came? And some of y'all asked about them. They moved back to Clintwood. So they moved back to Clintwood, Virginia. So that's why they're not here anymore. And they had the little baby and everything. But we were talking, and me and Cam were talking. They came down. We were eating at Bojangles. And he was even talking about how that. Now, do we really grasp the reality of what we're doing when we're praying? We're talking to God. We need to really grasp that. And the fact that God hears it is what makes it powerful. You are going directly to the most powerful, wisest, smartest, we'll say being, because he's more than a person, a being in the universe. You are talking to the God that has no limit, who doesn't get tired, who doesn't make mistakes, who doesn't mishear you, or anything. Have you ever, I mean, I know me, especially me, because I can't hear them bad. I mishear people all the time. I don't hear anything a lot. And my wife be like, did you hear that? No. Nope. So by the way, so if you say something to me and I don't respond, and a good chance I didn't hear you. Or if I say something crazy, it's because I misheard what you said. I remember when we tried out, I guess. Oh, first of all, I preached here. We were in the back. I think Darryl McConnell, I think, might have been one. And he said something like, you did a good job. And I said, I know. And I don't, that's not what I thought he said. Come on, my wife said, why'd you say it like that? And I don't remember what I thought he said, but the response would have been a good response. But that don't happen to God. Even when you can't make out what you want to say, God knows exactly. That's how powerful God is. That's who we're talking to when we pray. That's what makes it powerful. Let's just read a few verses to remind ourselves of that. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 20 and 22, through 22. And what can David say? More unto thee. For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake and according to thy own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Here it is. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard in our ears. Isaiah 9:6, you know this verse. For unto a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who we get to talk to. Psalm 147:3-5. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wound. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their name. Great in our Lord, and of great power, and understanding is infinite. Let me ask you again. Let me ask you, are you going to him? Are you talking to him? Are you seeking him? I've said this in my own life. If I would spend less time talking to other people about my problem and spend that time in prayer, I think I would see a difference in my own life. Prayer is powerful because who it involves. It involves God. We've identified why prayer is powerful, but now let's look at the power of prayer illustrated. We'll see that in the second thing, the illustration here. If you want to, I'm going to read a kind of a lengthy passage. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20. I'll give you a minute to turn there because it's definitely topical and we're skipping around and not one of my, probably my strong points in sermon building, but 2 Kings, let's look at the power of prayer illustrated. In verse 1, it says this, in these days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amnon, came to him and said to him, thou sayest the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, and it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the midcourt, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, and I tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, now that thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto the days 15 years. Wow. What do we see there? We see the power of prayer. Now, my objective today is not to preach a sermon on that, but we see here that Hezekiah was the man who prayed, and we see the power of prayer. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And she said, it's Hannah, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here and praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. What we see again, we see a barren woman who prayed, and the power of prayer. James 5:16 says this, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. In the middle of Paul saying, take on the whole armor of God, get what he said in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching therefore with perseverance and supplication for all saints. In the middle of putting on the Word of God and the whole armor of God, Paul says, make sure you pray. Why? Because prayer is powerful. We see it illustrated. Prayer is powerful because the Almighty God is involved in it. We'll look at secondly, number two, is the promise of prayer. Stay with me. We're kind of building a little bit of something. The promise of prayer. You know, I want you to get, number one, I want you to understand that prayer is powerful, okay? That should be enough right there. That should be enough for us to say, hey, you know what? We need to pray. But let's go a step further. The promise of prayer. God has promised to acknowledge our prayers. He has promised to acknowledge our prayers. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and an ear are open unto their prayers, but the faith of the Lord is against them that do evil. What did he say there? He said, hey, I'm gonna hear your prayers. 1 John 5:14. And we know that he hears us, whosoever we ask, we know that we have petition that we desire of him. Proverbs 3:15-29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Psalm 18:6, in my distress, I call upon the Lord and cry unto my God. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. I want you to know this. God hears your prayers. You say, why is that a big deal? And I know it's a little bit different. Some, we say, why does that matter? What, you know, one of the worst feelings? Have you ever tried to talk to someone who you didn't think was listening? That's why. I used to get so mad at school when I was a kid, and you know, you go up to the teacher and she ignore you for a little bit, you know? I couldn't stand that. Guess what? God doesn't ignore you. God acknowledges and he promises to acknowledge and promises to hear our prayers. I want you to know that. Not when it comes to God, when you pray, oh, it is powerful, and you're talking to a powerful God, but he hears and he listens. He acknowledges everything that you're saying. But let's take it a step further. God not only acknowledges our prayers, but God also promised to answer our prayers. Now, this is where things will get a little tricky, and I'm going to just give you being honest as I can as we kind of approach this. But, you know, God does promise to answer on prayer. And the difficulty, in my opinion, and in the way I think, is you have God, we have prayer is powerful, but you also have the will of God, right? So we're going to talk about that for a minute here. And I don't have an answer. I've asked different people, or different people tell me different things. Now, this is my biggest question that I'll pose to you, and I don't have an answer for it. Does prayer change God's will, or is God's will already what it was? For example, was it God's will from the get-go to heal Hezekiah? Or did his prayer actually change his will? I don't know. You know, I've asked different people, but anyway. But let's look at it. But God does promise to answer. Matthew 21:22 says, and in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and that shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and that shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Right there is a passage that clearly says, that God answers on prayer. But yet, me and you both know And we don't always get what we ask for, do we? So what is the answer? Well, I first of all, I'll say this, that I learned a long time ago, I don't know who taught me this, but that God answers prayer in three ways. Yes, no, and wait. We see that. I mean, we see yes, Hezekiah. He says, yes, I'm going to answer that prayer. We see, and I'll allude to it in a minute, and my favorite one is Paul and a thorn in the flesh. What did he say? No. He said, Paul, I'm not going to remove your thorn in the flesh. And then we see, sometimes, wait. Look at Abraham and Sarah. They had to wait for a child. You know they prayed. They had to wait. We understand that God doesn't answer every prayer the way we want to. David prayed for his baby to live, yet it died. Paul prayed for his thorn to be removed, but it wasn't. I like what Ruth Bell Graham said. God had not always answered my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times. So how do we reconcile this with Scripture? We interpret Scripture with Scripture. We already know that God doesn't always give us what we ask, but why? Why is that? Okay, this is really one of the best points I'm going to make today, hopefully, is why. And once again, I still don't have all the answers, but here it is. God answers our prayers according to His will. Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. Once again, that's why we have to interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. Yeah, we have places where it promises to give us what we want, but then other places it adds something to it that a lot of people like to forget. Let's look at this verse. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Let's not stop there. Matthew chapter 6 is the model prayer in verse 9 and 10. And this manner therefore pray ye. This is how He told us to pray. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. One thing stressing there. He is stressing that we seek God's will and that we understand that as we pray that God does have a will. Now, I still cannot tell you in that when we pray for someone to be healed, was that God's plan from the get-go? Or if enough of us get together that we pray and God actually changes I don't know. I don't know, and I can't reconcile that. You may have your point of view. I asked different people just for fun, and I know, and I had different answers. I don't really know. But I do know that God has a will. And I do know that we're supposed to pray. I think sometimes when we start talking about prayer, we focus too much on the results of prayer, and not enough on the relationship of prayer. That's the problem. The problem is that we're too busy wanting to know, is God really a genie in a bottle? We're so worried about the results of prayer, but the result of prayer is really not what prayer is about. But prayer is about you going to God and getting to know God and actually knowing what God's will is. Let me read what Adrian Rogers said. I think he's a little better than me. And probably knew a little more than me. And probably all of us did what he said. I really like what he said. Prayer has one purpose. And one purpose only. And that is that God's will be done. Not your will, but God's will. And I think that's what's so confusing about answering, well, God didn't give me what I want. Well, that's not what prayer is for. Did what he said. I'm going to continue. Prayer is not an exercise where we bend God's will to make it fit our will. I'm gonna read that again. Prayer is not an exercise where we bend God's will to make it fit our will. Too many people have the notion that prayer is talking God into doing something that he ordinarily would not want to do. That is not true. Prayer is seeking the will of God and following it. Prayer is a way of getting God's will done on earth. So now I cannot answer I can't reconcile praying and God's will and all that, not necessarily, but I think I can tell you this, that prayer, we focus too much on results of prayer. You know, and I'm not going to use any specific example, because I mean, it's kind of strike too close to home, but let's say something bad happens in your life. What do we normally do? We pray, Brother Mark, for that. We go to God and say, God, change this, right? Change this. Take this out of my life. Do this or do that. And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't, right, Brother Mike? I mean, we know that. Sometimes he does a miracle, and sometimes he doesn't seem to work a miracle that we would think. But here's the thing. Isn't that really what we should be doing? Well, I don't think it's wrong. What is the will of God? See, we make the will of God very elusive. I've said this to my wife. The will of God is when you're going to go to school after high school, or what you're going to do after high school, who you're going to marry, and where you're going to work at. That's what God's will is. That's most of what all people are worried about when it comes to God's will. But that's not God's will. God's will, listen to this. God's will is simply doing what you know to be right according to his word. Each and every day. So, let me just read a couple of verses. I'm going to tie this in. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the will of God is? That all people be saved. Alright? So, let me add to that. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. It's not elusive. God's will is not this mystical cloud that we're grabbing at. For the will of God, even your sanctification. The will of God is for you to get saved and for you to grow in sanctification. So now let's go back to that tragedy or that circumstance that's in your life that you don't want there. I think it's for mature believers. I think it will separate the mature believers from the immature believers. You know what the will of God, you know what God doesn't want? God don't want you backsliding. That happens many times, don't you, Brother Mike? Something bad happens to people's life, they get out of church. They quit reading the Bible. They quit living for God. Another thing too, sometimes, have you ever been in a tense situation and you didn't act very Christ-like? Well, that's not what God wants. You know what God wants? For his will to be done. You know what God's will is for you? And no matter what the situation is, but basically, a tragedy and for you to live for God each and every moment. For you to live sanctified. And for you to grow. So maybe that should be what we pray for. You know why? Because that's God's will. That's God's will. God's will is for you to conduct yourself each and every day as he will conduct himself. And oh, guess what? He's going to answer that prayer each and every time. And you're going to go closer to God. But what then goes back, what's most important is not the results, but your relationship with God. That's the will of God. And then that's what God wants. Prayer is for God's will to be done, not your will. And that's what God's will for you and for you to live for him. And we need God's help to do that. Therefore, we need to pray. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for the other thing. I'm just saying so many times, I think that we focus so much on results. Me and my wife were talking like, we were talking about that. Well, if God's will is going to be done no matter what, we went down that road, what's the purpose of praying? Well, the purpose of praying is not about you getting what you want. Prayer is about you growing to God and for you to learn to do God's will. to enable you to do God's will. See, we get so messed up. So the answer is that we have to pray that, well, that really that God doesn't only give us what we want, I guess, and that no one, well, first of all, God's not a genie in a bottle. He's God. First of all. But he has a will. We have to understand it. We have to accept that. And here's some other things, though. I will throw these out. James 4:3, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. That's one reason. Psalm 6:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that's a couple of different reasons why God promises to hear our prayers and to answer them according to his will. When you pray, I'll ask it like this. What are you most concerned about? Are you most concerned about God's will or your will? I'll be honest. I mean, if something happened, my dad was pretty sick like 2 years ago. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was praying that God took care of him. But I didn't spend much time praying that God would make sure I acted like Christ. Well, what is the will of God? Because I think that's the key. Is that I don't know what the will of God is for my dad's life. But I know what the will of God is for my life. And I know what it is for him. Is to live for God. I mean, I think that is what I know some of you are going to take this the wrong way. And I don't mean it that way. But I think this is what makes a mature believer different than an immature believer. And the prayer is that, do you pray to be like Christ? Do you pray to grow in Christ? Do you pray, or do you just pray for what you want? Well, I don't know what God wants for my life sometimes, but I know this. I know that God wants me to be like Christ. Which again goes back to James, when we studied about rejoice in trials. Remember that James in the book of maturity, and why should a Christian rejoice in a trial? Because a mature believer knows that trials are going to cause him to what? Grow in Christ. Same thing in prayer. And I think so many times, we're so focused on the results of prayer, and we're so focused on what we want, and we quote these verses, but yet we forget about the relationship. What God wants you to do is to draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. I mean, and I'll say it again. Let me go back, just for clarification, if I can find it. I don't know what's that now. Here it is. Prayer, Adrian Rogers, prayer has one purpose and one purpose only, and that is that God will be doing. That's all I'm trying to explain here. Prayer is not an exercise where we bend God's will to make it fit our will. I think sometimes we do that, and I think that's Brother Mike, why we get so confused by, well, why didn't God answer my prayer? Why didn't he give me what I want? Well, at the end of the day, it's not about you. And what you want. That's not what prayer is designed for. Prayer is designed for you to know what God wants and for you to do that. I think that's why we have trouble understanding prayer and God's answering our prayer. And we're more concerned about our will than God's will. We see the power of prayer. We see the promise of prayer. But now look at the problem of prayer. Here's the letter A. Ready? People are the problem. John Butler said this. Some of y'all may be familiar with John Butler. He said, our poor praying habits and our inability to pray effectively or even to pray cannot be blamed on God. His word encourages us to pray and tells us how to pray. The problem with prayer is us. Many people are failing to pray at all, or pray effectively, or pray properly, or like I said, pray maturely. Let's be honest. I mean, think to yourself, and whether you like it or not, how much time do you spend praying that you'll grow in Christ and be Christ-like when you're in a bad situation? When you have a thorn in the flesh, as Paul did. I mean, I'm not saying don't ask to remove it. I think that's fine. Paul prayed that. But you say, Lord, you may not remove this, but Lord, help me to conduct myself in a crime. Have you ever went out in public and something was bothering you and you snapped at someone or didn't act Christ-like because something was bothering you? Anyone like that? Anyone? Well, that's not what God wanted you to do. That's not God's will. So have you been in a tense situation and pray, Lord, remove this thorn, but have you also said, Lord, help me to conduct myself, Lord, help me to do what I know you want me to do, and that's to act Christ-like. Have you prayed that? I mean, are your prayers, does that describe your prayer life at all? Because that's a prayer of maturity. Here's the problem with prayer is that we don't pray at all, or we don't pray effectively, or we don't pray properly, or we don't pray maturely. And I think that last one is where a lot of us will be at, probably. I don't know you, man, to pray maturely. 1 Peter 5:7-8 says this. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil and the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Well, obviously, the casting your care upon him is prayer. Praying. Well, why did he say pray, Brother Mark? Because the world's a dangerous place, right? Okay, so stay with me. The problem with prayer and we don't see the need to pray. Now, you know why we don't sit down sometime and pray and pray, Lord, help me in this situation to be like Christ. Help me be like you. Lord, guard me. You know why we don't do that? Because we don't think we need to. We don't see the need. No, one, we probably, to be honest with you, a lot of us don't care about our relationship with Christ. We care about getting results. We care about the results of prayer. Once again, we care about the power of prayer, but we don't care nothing about the principles. And that God is God, and that we should be growing to Him, to be honest with you. You know what happened? When something bad happens, we usually pray more when something bad happens. Stay with me. We don't see the need to pray. Oh, but Peter, that's who's writing this. Peter, he's trying to get them to see the seriousness of prayer. I can only wonder if that's because Peter had to learn the hard way. We see the people or the problem. Let's look at letter B, and that is the picture of the problem. The gospel paints a picture of this exact problem, and we'll be in Luke chapter 22. I'm gonna read a few verses here, and you know where I'm going with this. And I don't know. We don't know what Peter was thinking. But oh, he definitely learned the lesson about prayer. Luke 22, we'll look at verse 31 and 32 first. The good thing about us jumping around and I hear pages turning, that means you're not asleep. So that's a good thing. I don't always get to hear that. So some of y'all are actually listening today. Oh, I'm listening. I don't know. Sometimes y'all are not. So, hey, that's good. No, I'm just kidding. But Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. By the way, that's his goal with all of us. Satan desired to have all of us, okay? That you may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, and that thy faith fail not when thou converted strength to thy brethren. And okay, so go down to verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Verse 45 and 46. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, and said to them, why sleepest ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Alright, so we know how the story ends, don't we? Peter denied Jesus. Now let me ask you something. Let me go back. I really want to drive home the fact that prayer is not about results. It's about a relationship with God, and that what we should pray about is God's will. Let me ask you this. Was it God's will for Peter to deny Jesus? No. Why did he not do the will of God? Because he didn't pray. Once again, was Jesus going to be crucified? Yeah. Were they going to be scared? Yeah. But see, prayer, he didn't pray, so therefore he didn't do the will of God. And the will of God is what it is about. Prayer is about doing the will of God. He didn't do the will of God. He failed. Peter didn't pray. The problem, if we need to pray, but we don't see the need, the importance, or the urgency to pray. Prayer shouldn't just be about your need. It should be about what God wants us to do. No, God, I can tell you right now, God did not want Jesus or Peter to deny Jesus. He told him to pray. Then enter into temptation. So we see here, what we see is we see the need. We need to pray. We need to do that. But we see the problem is that many times we don't. Well, many times, to be honest with you, and this is the overall assumption against most people, is that we pray because we want results. When something's wrong in our life, we pray. When we don't like what we are in, we pray. But oh, do we pray? Do we pray for God's will? Oh, what, I wonder what would happen if Peter said, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray that I do what you want me to do. Oh, but he didn't. Well, yeah, I think the same thing with us. And something number two thing. I think the problem number one is that we don't pray. We don't pray because we don't see the need. But number two, when we do pray, I think we spend a lot of time praying for the wrong thing. We're praying for results. For things in our life. Well, again, there's a time and place for that. Oh, but we should be praying that we conduct ourselves the way God, we should pray to be sanctified. And to live sanctified. We don't do that though. Or the assumption is we don't do that. And I mean, the reason I say that, again, I've said it before, on Wednesday night, when you hear prayer requests, or even hearing prayer requests, it's all about results. I mean, I might have a heart attack if someone stood up and said, you know what? I haven't been living for God like I need to. Will you pray for me? I know what God's will is for my life. God's will for my life is for me to act like Christ. Will you pray for me? Oh, how you say, I pray for so-and-so. They're sick, but they also are not living for God. That's the will of God. Oh, and they're not saved. That's the will of God. That's what we can know. We can know that's the will of God. That's what my cousin, who was a youth pastor for many years, he would tell teenagers, oh, you know, they won't know where do I go to college? You know what? When you're a junior in high school, I can tell you what God's will is. God's will for you to live for God. God's will for you to do what you know to know is right according to God's will. That's it. If you do that each and every day, then you'll be in God's will 10 years from now. So somebody who does what they know to be right according to God's will today will be doing the same thing 10 years and be right where God wants them. But do we pray that? We shouldn't just pray, Lord, remove this difficulty out of my way, which I think is fine to pray, because Paul did that. We should also ask the Lord, if your will, what is your will for me in this situation? And that's easy. For you to continue to act Christ-like. We need to make sure we add that to our prayer. I don't have all the answers to the prayer and God's will. But I do know this. We are to pray. We see the power of prayer. We see the promise of prayer. We see the problem with prayer. But now look at the precepts of prayer. The precepts. First thing here is be praying. Be praying. God wants you to pray. Even if you don't understand everything, and I don't, we need to pray. Philippians 4, 5 through 6, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Yeah, we should pray. We should pray. We should pray for things that we need, the things we need to remove. We also need to pray for strength to act like Christ while we're doing it. God wants us to pray. And he said in Matthew chapter 6:9, after this manner, therefore pray ye. What do he want you to do? He wants you to pray. How do he want you to pray? And I did not put this I had all my verses in my sermon for some reason, but James, chapter 5, and we know the verse, chapter 16, and it says the last part, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How we pray? Well, the word effective and fervent is the idea of active, energetic. Well, and I'm not saying you're like, woo! Scared you. I scare you? I did that with my wife all the time. I scared her 8 times yesterday. My goal was to scare her 10 times, but I got 8. I had pity and I quit. About 10 o'clock last night, I said, I'm not going to scare you no more. But anyway, I'm not saying you got to act crazy when you pray. Okay? But you should focus. And it should be, Father, thank you for this, Lord. Amen. You know, it needs to have some effort behind it. John Butler said this, a lack of enthusiasm in any effort will kill the effort and make it not effective. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's pretty good. I guess he came up with that old, a lack of enthusiasm in any effort will kill the effort and make it not effective. We need to be praying, but we need to be praying with some effort. And then also, with specification. The word prayer there, and the word involved praying specifically. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, we can't remember everything that we need. We can't always think of each word, but we definitely need to be more specific. We need to be more intimate. We need to talk. We don't need to say the same thing over and over. Pray with your eyes open. You ain't got to close them. Do whatever you need to. Walk around. Pray, but you need to have a conversation. You need to be specific. You know what I mean, Lord? And I'm guilty of this because a lot of times we don't want to open up. When I see that is that, you know, not just Lord, I'm having a bad day. What bad day are you having? Why are you having a bad day? If I can't run much about I'm having a bad day. Just think about me. You know what the first thing he would ask probably? What's wrong? He want to know. He want me to tell him. Well, now God already knows. But talk to him. We're made in his image. Okay, he wants to know. He wants you to tell him. Now, I'm not saying you got to go word for word, nothing like that. I mean, don't go extreme with that, you know, but it involves specification. But hey, here's the big thing. Pray sanctified. Look at that. See, and that's what we all, like, so many people in the Christian world, some people ain't Christian, I don't think, but, what does it say there? It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous man. Without righteousness, your prayers will not do much good. So an apology helps our praying. That's what John Butler said. Make sure that you talk to him first about your problem and your sin. We should be praying. But next thing here is be persistent. Be persistent. And you, we'll just read two verses we'll be doing. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and walking thereinto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. You know what the ideal of this is? Be persistent in prayer. Be consistent in prayer. That's the thing. Let's make prayer a habit. And let's make it a habit. The problem, we're all guilty of this. We're not guilty, but we all tempt because we're human. And when something bad happens, we pray. And we pray that for that, so whatever situation is there, for it to be removed. Oh, but there's so much more to prayer. Prayer should be a habit. Prayer, you should pray when you're having a good day. You can be praying when you have a bad day. You should be praying to draw close to God when everything is fine. You should be praying to grow close to God when things are bad. And you know what? If we would make prayer a habit, you know, during them bad times, you know, it might be, Lord, I can't even do anything but pray about what's wrong. The problem is that we don't, at least my own life a lot of times, is that I don't spend time praying to God in the good day to draw nigh to Him. And then when the problem comes, I'm just panicking. I'm scrambling around. Prayer needs to be a persistent thing. It needs to be a habit. It needs to be a habit. Now, as we conclude here, you say, well, what's the conclusion? What's the application? Ready? Let's pray. That's really it. That's really it. Just pray. And I do think there's some pointers in there that we need to make sure we focus on the relationship with God and not so much the results. That we need to focus on God's will instead of our will. I think we need to remember all of that. But I think at the end of the day, really all I really want to do and really remind you of, and this is let's pray. Let's pray. I mean, once again, I think we talk about it a lot. I think we say it a lot. I think we tell people we're doing it. But I wonder sometimes, and even in my life, I can only speak for myself, is that I catch myself not praying like I need to. Not praying like I should. I catch myself not praying specifically about things and being intimate with God. I catch myself only praying for results. I mean, I'm the same way. That's why I'm preaching. I kind of forget that prayer is not anything. It's an avenue for me to grow closer to Him. Let's pray. And the piano players come up, and we stand to our feet, just for a moment. Like I said, I don't know who needed this. I prepared this a couple of weeks ago, and plan to preach it today, like I said. Really nothing that I don't think, like, that anything that you probably never heard before, or maybe a reminder, just something basic, like I said. I wish I could answer all the questions about prayer and God's will and all of that. I don't know all that. But I do know this, and it's one thing that we need to be praying. Let me ask you. You know, just to yourself, how is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Our prayer life is so critical. I mean, truthfully, I mean, I can't understand. I mean, I would say prayer probably may be more important than reading the Bibles. I mean, I don't really know, but they're, you know, both very important, but prayer is very, very important. I mean, He gives us a scripture on how to pray. He wants us to pray. Let me ask you, are you praying like you should? If they begin to play, maybe God spoke to you. I mean, maybe you just want to come down here in this morning and say, God, help me to pray like I should. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you for not praying. Maybe you're like me, and I never really thought about that much, but, you know, God, you know, prayer is about God's will. It's not trying to change God's will as much as it is for us to live according to God's will. Maybe that's you. Maybe you just had the wrong approach a little bit. Maybe you don't mean it bad, but maybe you've not realized that. Whatever it is, I want you to talk to God right now. Now play through one time. They begin to play. I want you to talk to God right now.